I'm sorry. I'm talking about 1078, okay? So we just sang one verse in 1068, and it's a wonderful song, even among Christians early on. You see, today we're missing some of the best hymns that used to be more well-known and popular and off-sung, but not anymore. I'm sorry to say today we have a lot of good songs with nice tunes, but it just doesn't have the same kind of depth and feeling. And I just wish the saints can really go back, as it were, to a lot of these older hymns that to me are much more substantial. 1016, this one verse. This is a gospel song, by the way, for the preaching of the gospel. But in light of the burden of the seeking and restoring of dormant saints or wayward saints, this is a very applicable hymn. In tenderness, he sought me. What can I say right away? The need is tenderness, gentleness. You know, in the Bible, when it talks about God's coming to men to care for men, to find men, to restore man, it's always with a heart of tenderness and gentleness. And needless to say, the Lord Jesus was such a one. Brother Lee's wonderful definition of shepherding is the all-inclusive tender care. All-inclusive tender care. And so here is surely the picture of the first parable in Luke 15 about the man looking, putting aside the 99 sheep and going to seek for the one lost sheep. You know, even that parable, brothers and sisters, how about you go back and pray, read it and study it? There's 100 sheep, right, in the flock, in that flock. 99 was supermajority, one lost. Well, if you ask me, I don't think I'm going to take the risk to go after the one and leave the 99, you know. It's, but the Lord does not think that way. He cared for the one as though he didn't care as much for the 99. Because the 99 were okay. They're safe. They're well. They're cared for. But that one is lost. And he must go and find that one. In tenderness, he sought me, you know, me, the lost sheep, weary and sick with sin, and on his shoulders brought me. After he found that one sheep, it says he put him on his shoulders, you know, the shoulders showing the strength, the divine strength of the Lord. But it's on human shoulders, right? Brought me into his flock again. So here is clearly a picture of a seeking and restoration of a lost one, a wayward one, or a backslidden one, to bring them back to the flock. Not just to save the sheep and make him well, but in the end to bring this sheep back to the flock. What? Because the sheep depends on the flock to exist. Sheep are not solitude animals. Sheep, like other animals and beasts of the field, are the collective, the corporate. They need the company of their own, and in this case, a flock. You know, I just went to some farms, and you can just see them. They just clump together, you know. That's their safety. That's how they are. When the lead sheep moves, everyone moves in that direction. Follow the footsteps of the flock, right? So we are God's flock similarly, or God's little flock similarly, to restore someone, including sinners. And of course, our own brothers and sisters who have dropped out or left the meetings of the church life, they have left the flock. Practically speaking, the church life is a flock life. While angels in his presence sang until the courts of heaven rang. You know, I would should not try to finish this outline today. Maybe we should next time just zero in on this outline. But let me just talk about the feeling, okay? The feeling is very, very important, even as indicated or revealed or seen in chapter 15, that unveils this saving love of the triune God in those three parables. And we're just talking about the first of a shepherd seeking a sheep. But let me just read it to you, okay? Including the context. Now all the tax collectors, verse 1. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to him to hear him, and both the Pharisees and the scribes murmured among themselves, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." This is a big thing that Brother Lee stressed in his vital group training about not having a spirit of legality, not demanding, but welcoming and caring for the worse, the sinners. In this case, means probably the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the low and the base ones in society, the outcasts even. The Lord hung out with them. The Lord ate with them. And there he told them this parable. Which man of you who has 100 sheep and has lost one of them does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost? Until he finds it. I just, even just praying those four words, until he finds it. That means when the Lord set his eyes, set his heart to find that one sheep, he won't stop. As you will, if you care for people, you will soon find the most important virtue or need in our care for to recover people is patience, is endurance, great patience. Great endurance, because it takes time. It takes a lot of heart. It takes a lot of process to regain someone, to recover someone. Not an easy job. Don't expect quick results, brothers and sisters. Go after. See, the Lord is just put on the blinders single-heartedly. Focus one which is lost. You're saying these are the things we can quickly learn. These principles will not change. And these are not merely debt, you know, just kind of core principles. This reflects a heart condition of the shepherd who lost this one sheep. He went after the one which is lost. He didn't have to spend that much time, apparently, with those that are okay. But the one that is lost needs time. So he specially dedicates time. I like to tell brothers and sisters, every week you should set apart a time to go after one that is lost among others. There should always be a few in your hands. There should be a sinner, a gospel candidate. There should be a needy saint, a lost saint that you have a relationship with, that you have a way to reach. And you do that until he or she is found. This is what you call search and rescue mission, but not a quick one. This requires patience. Brother Lee said, if you can recover a brother or sister over 3 years, that is well worth it. Well worth it. What value can you put on a soul or a brother, dear brother or sister? 3 years, 5 years? You cannot put that as a value. The value is the person, the soul. This is a member of Christ. This is one of our brothers and sisters in God's family. So you have the heart for them. You go after that one. And sometimes even they would reject you. They would play a game with you. They they're flaky. How about that? But you go after. You go after. You don't care. That's the shepherd's heart. And when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulders. Is this touching? Of course, this is a picture of the Lord's saving power and his saving strength on his shoulders. I mean, the feeling is what I'm talking about in this picture, in this parable. Do we put this sheep, this lost one, on our shoulder and on our breast, really, as well? I mean, how tender is this? How gentle is this? How safe is this? Let the shepherd, the Lord's shepherding heart be duplicated in ours, shall we? Let every church have this spirit and this heart. That's the church life. That's what drives the church life. The saints that you know that have been around forever, they're still in the church life. Actually, you and I don't need to spend much time with each other. Do you follow me? Those who are in need is the ones we should spend time and dedicate our time to. So brotherly charge us, especially the leading brothers in the meetings. Don't go after people you know after the meeting. Go after the ones who are new, who are just coming back, who comes, shows up twice a year. Go after them. Go after the ones you don't know, not the ones you know already. Don't go after your buddy. There's so many. Lift up your eyes. The fields are white. There's so many. That needs our attention and care. And when he comes into his house, you know, with this sheep on his shoulders, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." You know, in this three parables, I will tell you one, there's one outstanding thread, huh? That is important, and that is the word joy or rejoice. Dear ones, if we do not have this experience, we have cheated ourselves out of this experience of this kind of joy, the joy of seeing someone restored, the joy of recovering a brother or sister, a joy of bringing someone home, the lost ones, back to home, back to the church life. Rejoice with me. I found the sheep that was lost. I tell you, the Lord continued, that in the same way there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner repenting than over 99 righteous persons who have no need of repentance. Just one, that one, that you and I would pay a price to save and bring back to the flock. So, you know, you then sing this song, this, oh, the love that sought me, the Lord's love. Oh, the blood, the precious blood that bought me. Oh, the grace that brought me to the flock. The flock. Wondrous grace that brought me to the flock. Weren't you and I brought back to the flock by someone? Someone paid a price to bring you to the flock. And yet, we withhold our heart. We are measly and stingy with our love and time and care, without which no one can come home. There is a gospel song, come home, you who are weary, right? Come home to a sinner. But the same thing applies to a backslidden or dormant saint. You know, there in the second parable about the woman seeking a coin, he found the coin, and when she finds it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner repenting. I tell you, one that is repenting calls angels to rejoice. Heavens, in the heavens, not only on the earth, in the heavens there is rejoicing. Then, of course, needless to say, in the parable of the prodigal, he said what? He said, the father said, bring the fatted calf, slaughter it, let us eat and be merry. I mean, this son was going to just have it composed, you know? He had everything composed. Father, I'm not worthy. I did the wrong thing, and just make me as a... It's like the father just kissed him and put a hand on his mouth and shut up. No need to say anything. You just come home. Kill the calf. Slaughter it. Let's eat. Let's be merry. Because this son of mine was dead and lives again, and he was lost and has been found, and they began to be merry. You know, then he has this jealous brother, right? You know the story. A good one, you know. The goody-goody one was angry and unhappy about this. I've done so much. I was the good boy, and you never gave me even a goat. But now your son came, you know, this prodigal son, and he devoured your living. He was with harlots, and there you slaughter the fattened calf. And the father said, what? Child, you're always with me, and all that is mine is yours, but we have to be merry and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. Dear saints, there's something about finding people and gaining them and returning them and bringing them home, the joy of which is just inestimable, you know, incalculable, because it is so great. The Father rejoices. The angels in his presence rejoices. And of course, we rejoice. I don't know about in the Bay Area. I believe you are just like us here in South County, in Orange County. Before the pandemic, the brothers did a just cursory, just kind of survey. At least 90 brothers and sisters, millennial, younger age, in this area, sort of hiding, you know what I mean, working here. Not a few of them have been through the full-time training. And here they are. So now the church here is very burdened about this matter. And in employment centers like the Bay, like, you know, all these metro areas where jobs are found, and they would be there. This is all over. And then there are others, not just this kind, but others who have been away for a long, long time, or very spotty in their attendance of the meetings. Dear brothers and sisters, they're waiting. They may not even know that. They need to see a sign that we have not forgotten them. The church still loves them. And there's a place in the church of Jesus for them still. We're not here to, as Brotherly Famous say, we're not a police station here to arrest people. We're not a law court to judge and sentence, prosecute. We're a family. We're a hospital. We're a school, Brotherly said that. And in the context of shepherding, we're a flock, all sheep. Well, next time, we'll get into this wonderful outline on this specific, on this matter of recovering the dormant saints, which Brother Lee was very burdened about back in the mid-80s when he first went back to Taiwan. The first thing he did was two things. Even before FTT started in 1986, this is 1985, two things. Number one, he wants to build up the small group church life in Taipei. The small group church life. And number two, to what? To stir up the saints who would participate in these small groups. To firstly be burdened for our own brothers and sisters, and there would be many thousands in Taipei at the time, to restore and recover them. And so he spoke much. And a lot of the material and content in this this appendix or this outline came from that era. It'll be very, very helpful to us. If you have it in your hand, or I suggest you can get into them yourself. It's all there. And read up even on the books where these sentences and points were gleaned. And just open your heart to the Lord. Fellowship with one another and begin. You don't even need my speaking, in a way. And it's not about, you know, you're an expert. No, it's about the heart. It's about whether you have that heart. Maybe a couple. You invite such a one that had been on your heart for a long time. Maybe a singles brother. Just meet up with this one. You know, play some basketball with him. You know what I'm saying? Hang out with them. Socialize with them. Be with them. With happiness, with joy, because this is your brother, this is your sister, this is our own. Then, of course, you pray for them very much. You can invite them to your home for dinner, right? It's not big things that you do. Don't give them a sermon, okay? Don't give them a message. You're just happy to be with them. You talk what they want to talk about. You listen to them. And as you pray, as you spend time, the Spirit will lead and the Lord would work in their hearts, and the Lord will set up certain environments. All things will start to work together for their good. But it needs us to be the conduit, right? To be the shepherds, to do this kind of seeking and restoring work. All eyes and here. Thank you, saints, for this time.